Now, our next sample question was, which clouds have the greatest turbulence? Now, the answer is number 2, and you can see that in bold print, cumulonimbus clouds. Now, on this question, I will link the subject, greatest turbulence. That's the subject about my question. And remember what the greatest turbulence is? And now I'm going to link that with the answer, cumulonimbus. Now, as I look at the answer, cumulonimbus, I can't help but think about Christopher Columbus. So now I picture a large rain cloud over Christopher Columbus's ships as they're being tossed about by very large waves. Now, what have I done here? I've taken the question, which clouds have the greatest turbulence, put that together with my answer, cumulonimbus, and link that together with who? Columbus. That would be the tangible aid that I would use for cumulonimbus. Then I went ahead and put the story together. You see how we do that? Greatest turbulence, we think of all the storms and the stormy weather. Cumulonimbus, we think of Christopher Columbus. So which clouds have the greatest turbulence? I don't think you'll forget that one. Well, let's do one more. The next statement and answer that we want to do is ACSL, which represents standing lenticular clouds. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you don't understand what they are. Let's not worry about that right now. Now, in this statement, the key point is to link ACSL with mountains and link that to the answer, turbulence. Now, when I look at the letters ACSL, it could sound like axel, ACSL. At this point, I picture a car with a broken axle. And that car is rolling down a bumpy mountain. And by picturing a bumpy mountain, it will in turn make me think of a turbulent ride. Now, I used a little bit of imagination on this one, didn't I? And that's what you've got to do. So use your imagination. Something that we want to also keep in mind when we're taking exams is that we don't just want to memorize the answers. We want to know the information. So this is not just replacing the fact that you should know the information. You can know it, but it doesn't hurt to memorize it, but make sure you fully understand what it is that you're trying to study. So that is a powerful way how you can use the link system to master exams. Now it's time to go to Chapter 11, the numerical code system. I'll assure you, out of all the memory aids that I have shared with you in this program, this system is probably going to be the hardest to learn. That is why I'm saving it to the end. And you'll figure out what I mean by that as we continue. Now, a word of caution, though. Remember earlier I had discussed the importance of learning and the relationship of taking a break to remember what you're trying to learn? Before learning this technique, I'm going to strongly recommend that you perhaps want to maybe take a day or two off to remember all the other techniques to make sure they're in your memory. Because if you don't, I will assure you, this program that we're going to do now, the code system, will really cause a tremendous amount of confusion. And you'll say, whoa, I have a bad memory. No, we don't want to say that. And if you do happen to say something like that, it's only because you're probably cramming in too much information at one time. And keep in mind, this system is very difficult, and it's going to take a while to get it into your long-term memory. But I will assure you, it will be one of the most powerful memory aids that you can utilize if you're willing to discipline yourself and apply the information. Now, our objective in this chapter is to code or represent each number with a consonant. Then add vowels, which in turn make tangible words. All right, in Chapter 11, you will see the list of numbers and the letters they represent. Let's go over that list together. Number 1 equals a letter D and a Q. Number 2 equals a T and an X. Number 3 is represented by an N, an R, and an F, and an H. Number 4 is represented by an M. Number 5 is represented by W. Number 6 is represented by a J, an SH sound, CH, soft C, and a soft G. Number 7 is represented by an L, a K, a hard C, and a hard G. Number 8 is represented by a V and the letter B. 9 is represented by a P, and 0 is represented by a Z and an S. Now, you're probably wondering, how in the world do these numbers come to represent letters? Well, let's try to analyze each number with its letter one at a time. With a numerical code, there are no hard, fast rules to this system, and there are many exceptions. That's why it's so challenging and difficult to learn. Here's how it works. Whenever possible, I try to use the number of line strokes that it took to make each letter. For instance, D and Q have only one line stroke. The D has it on the left and the Q through its circle. This stroke method applies only to the letters represented from 1 to 4. Notice too that all letters are visualized in capitals only. That's very important to remember. They're all caps. Now, number 2 is represented by a capital T and an X, both taking 2 strokes to complete. You'll find that X is seldom used in this program, and you'll also find that you probably won't be using X very much at all when designing memory aids. 3 is represented by N, R, F, and H. Let's break down the strokes. Notice that the N has 3 strokes, the R has 3 strokes, the F also has 3, and so does the H. Let's go to number 4. 4 is represented by the letter M. Notice that it takes 4 strokes to make the capital M. Recall earlier that I said that this technique is probably the most difficult to use. Well, the reason for this is that the codes from 5 to 9 and 0 have no real definite memory aids. Remember how 1 through 4 were easily represented by strokes, and the strokes that made up each letter is aiding you to remember them. Well, now it's time to continue with 5 through 9 and 0, and you'll definitely see the change. Notice now that we're not concerned whatsoever with strokes. The different line strokes were only good from 1 to 4. All right, 5 is represented by a W, and I think of a fifth of whiskey. The W for whiskey, fifth of whiskey. 6 is represented by a J, an SH, CH, a soft C, and a soft G. Getting a little bit more difficult, isn't it? You see, there is no real memory aid to recall a lot of this. Now, that is why you've got to really work hard to put this in your long-term memory. It is really good for remembering long, long numbers, phone numbers, addresses, anything like that. Okay, the J has slight similarities to the 6. See the 6 and the J? Now the SH and the CH and the soft C and the soft G somewhat sounds like the S in 6. You can try to use that as a memory aid. This gets a little more difficult. Let's go to 7. 7 is represented by an L, a K, a hard C, and a hard G. Notice the similarities in the 7 to the L. 8 is represented by V and B. Think of V8 for maybe the V8 juice. And notice how similar the B is to the 8. The 8 is more rounded, and the B is not quite as rounded, but they look very similar. 9 is represented by P. P is just a reverse 9, isn't it? 9 is represented by a P. 0 is represented by Z and S. Z for 0, and that begins to sound alike, and so does the S for 0. So this is what we're going to use for memory aids. It's not quite as easy as the strokes of 1 through 4 that we talked about earlier, and it's certainly not as easy as our other systems that we learned earlier. Well, let's try a review. Now, if you're having problems with this, it's only because it's so unusual and it's not quite as easy for the mind to recall, so you may need to take a little bit more time to do this review. And here's what you will be doing. Where you see the 1 through 0, I want you to write the letters that they represent. And underneath that, it's just the opposite. You will see the letters, and then I want you to write the numbers they represent. Again, don't cheat yourself. Stretch as much as you can, and as a last resort, go ahead and look back for the answers. Why don't you now start your quiz? Well, how did you do on that one? It's not that easy, is it? And remember, if you're having difficult times with this, go ahead, review it a little bit more. If you have to take a break, an hour or two, maybe even a day, to get this information in your long-term memory. Now, since you've already accomplished the review, how about we try to put it together and make it work? Now, let me show you how we'll actually use it. Again, the objective is to code or represent each number with a consonant, then add vowels, which in turn would make a tangible word. For example, we wish to remember the number 72027. Let's put these numbers into code. Okay, 7, we're going to use this particular case, the hard C for cat. Remember, for 7, we could have used something else if we wanted to, but we could have also used the L or we could have also used K. But in this case, we've decided to use the hard C. Now, the next number is 2, which we're going to use a T for its representation. Then we have a 0, which we'll use the S. And then we have another 2, which we'll use the T, the two strokes for T. T for 2, get it? That would work. How about that? Well, the 7 would be represented by the L. So in this case, we have 1 7 represented by a hard C, and another 7 represented by something else, and that's the L. This way you can see the variety, how to use it in a number of different ways. So our letters now are coded to C, T, S, T, L. Now by adding vowels, you can make a tangible word or words. Let's go ahead and make the tangible word cat's tail. That's cat's tail. See how we did that? In this particular case, all we did was add the vowels. The vowels do not count with regards to the coding now, so just keep in mind throughout this presentation, you'll need to understand that, and of course we'll be going through it even more. So perhaps let's say the number 72027 was a model number for a car, and you needed to remember that. Well, for our mind to relate the word cat's tail to the car, we must associate the cat's tail, use that as a what? As a trademark, remember that, or a point of departure for the car, helping us to remember that we need to remember the cat's tail for a car. So how do we do that? Well, we can picture a cat's tail getting caught in a what? In a car, in the car's engine, wherever. Ouch! Imagine a little cat, he's just screaming and his tail's all caught in the hood. Remember, use those 12 memory pushers again. So when we think of a cat's tail, we automatically also think of the car. We've connected them together and linked them together in our mind. So cat's tail is the code for the car, and once we know that code and have it in our long-term memory, when we look at cat's tail, we know we only use the consonants, we ignore the vowels, and don't forget that, thus we've coded 72027 as cat's tail. Now we could also change that. We could have had the same number, and that same number could represent LTSTK. Adding the vowels, it would be let's take. Now this would work, but it would not be the easiest choice or the best choice. Do you remember why? Well, let's take is very intangible, whereas cat's tail, that's stronger because it is tangible. So when we are regrouping and making these different names and different codings, always try to code into something that's tangible or something that we can really turn the light on, if you will, in that mind. Something you know that you will really remember. And once you get that feeling, boom, you know it, then that's what's going to work for you. This is also a great way to remember telephone numbers. Let's say there's a section of town that all the people have the same first 3 digits. And we'll use the digits or the numbers 555. Now everybody you know in that area, their phone numbers all begin with this 555. So obviously you would not need to code those first 3 digits. That's easy to remember. Just code the last 4 digits, because you can easily get the 555 into your long-term memory. Now, what we want to do is code those last 4 digits, and here we go. For example, I've got a friend of mine who has a phone number ending with 9343. So we'll use the example of the 555 for the first 3 digits in this number. His name is Bob, and Bob and I fly together whenever we get the chance. Now, whenever I think of Bob, what do I usually think of? Well, I think of flying. I put that together very strong as a trademark, flying for Bob. So I try to come up with a word from 9343, that was the last 4 digits of the number, that would also relate to flying. So I coded the 9343 as PRMR. Now, you see how I've done that? 9 is represented by a P. 3 is represented by an R. 4 is represented by an M. And R again is represented by a 3. Now that we've coded our 9-3-4-3 into P-R-M-R, all we've got to do is add what? Add vowels and then make it tangible. So in this case, I came up with the word primer, P-R-I-M-E-R. And primer was perfect because before starting an engine in most prop airplanes, if you will, you have to use a primer, which is a tool or a mechanism inside the cockpit which helps put fuel into the engine of the aircraft. So now to help my memory out a little further, what I do is picture Bob holding the primer in the airplane and he pulls it so hard, fuel comes all over us. So again, here I use the link system and I always use a trademark. So every time now when I see Bob, I just take a second to think of a what? A primer. So that always helps me remember what his phone number is. I think of Bob Primer and I automatically, because I have it in my long-term memory, decode that as 9-3-4-3. Now keep one very important thing in mind. This technique works. Again, if for some reason it's really not working well for you yet, analyze why. Maybe you're not seeing or picturing these things in your mind. Remember those memory pushers. Maybe you're not exaggerating or acting it out enough. So if you're getting a little discouraged, just take your time and analyze why you're having a challenge trying to remember the information. Now let's use the code system to represent the numbers 1 through 10. And recall earlier how we did that with the numerical visual aid system. The pen was 1, 5, buffalo, nickel, and so forth. Now we can do the same thing here with the code system. Here's how we do that. The 1 is represented by the word dough, like bread dough. Now how do we do that? Well, D represents 1, the number 1. Does that make sense? Now we're making a word for it, just that one word D. So we're going to use dough, O-U-G-H. And basically all we're going to do is add a vowel to that. We're kind of putting the D-O-U-G-H as the vowel O, dough, and the O represents nothing because it is a vowel. So then the 1 would have to represent dough. Number 2 is represented by T, like a cup of tea. T-E-A, because T is represented by 2 strokes, and the E and the A are what? They're vowels. 3 is represented by an R, and then we add A and Y. We consider that vowels. Again, all you have is the R, so you have the word ray. 4 is represented by M, then we add a vowel, and the vowel we're going to add is an A, so we make ma. That's a little challenging, I know. Now 5, we code that to a W, and then we add A-Y. So 5 is way. 6 would be shoe, S-H, that represents the 6, and then we add the O-E. 6 is shoe. 7 is lie. 7 is represented by the L, and then we add the vowel sound or vowels. 8, that's going to represent a B, like a bee sting. B equals 8, and then we add some vowels. 9, the code for 9 is what? It was a P, then we add EA, like pea soup. 10, well, this is a difficult one. 10 is represented by a Q for 1, and a 0 for Z. So we put that together, and we come up with the word quiz. Now, that's a challenging one. Now, 5 and 10 are not very tangible. 5 was way, and 10 was quiz. The reason they're very challenging, as opposed to maybe the other ones, because they're a little less tangible. So you really have to get the mind to work with that one. Now, remember, you only represent the sound of consonants and add the vowels later. Just for emphasis, the consonant D is 1, because you can only hear the D, and D equals 1, or do. Now here's a hint for you to really keep improving your memory power, especially when you're using this code system. Your mind will obviously take the course of least resistance when trying to remember something. For example, in using the code system, you may always find yourself using F for 3, because perhaps that comes easy for you. You see the F and the 3 strokes. Now, this usually means that F will easily go into your long-term memory if you're always representing 3 to equal F. Now it's time to quit using F because we already have that in our long-term memory, and we want to start making the brain work a little further. So what we need to do is start using N or R or H when we want to represent something for 3. So don't use F anymore. Use something else, and that keeps the mind stretching, and this will quickly put the entire code system in your long-term memory. You can do the same thing when you come up to number 7. If you use L all the time for number 7, well, that's probably in your long-term memory. So change 7 and start representing it with a K, and use K a little bit more. As much as you can, use a variety of all the numbers and letters in the code system. That way, you'll be a real master at it. And I want you to keep in mind, this technique is a little challenging, but very, very powerful. Let's see how we can use this technique to memorize the 15-digit number that we learned earlier in the numerical visual aid system. Now, remember what that number was. It was 803-612-741-309-685. Now, let's see how we can use the code system to memorize this 15-digit number instead of using the other system that we used previously. You might want to try to follow along, and I say try because this one is challenging. Follow along with me in chapter 11. Now here we go. We're going to start with this 15-digit number. We're going to take 8, the first number, 8, and code it to B. Got that? The 0 will make that an S. The 3 will make an R. We'll turn the 6 into the sh or the SH. The 1 to D, the 2 to T, the 7 to hard C, the 4 will be M, the next 1 will be D, 3 will be H, the 0 will make that an S, 9 will be P, 6 will be J, 8 will be B, and 5 will be W. Now let's go ahead and take the letters that we have coded and let's turn them into something tangible wherever we possibly can. The letter B and the letter S from 8 and 0, follow where I'm at here, the letter B and the letter S will make bus, B-U-S. Then we'll add rush, and to the D and to the T we'll make dot. And for the hard C we'll make the word came with the hard C for 7 and the M for 4. Then the 1 we'll put together with the word dough, like we did earlier, so that equals 1. Then the 3 we'll use the word hey, H-A-Y. For the S we'll use 0 and the P, 9. We'll put that together for the word soup. And then all we go with for 6 and 8 will be J and B, and put the word job. And then the last one, which is 5, which was what, a W, we'll use the word Y. Now notice we're not coding the H in Y here, because the H is what? It's silent. So all we have is that W for 5, and we'll code that. And the I for Y, that really becomes a vowel, and we don't code that. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? Now that we've got most of this coded pretty well in tangible words, let's go ahead and make a story up. Note that some of the words that we coded are both tangible, and then some are intangible. The tangible words that we've made up so far are bus, dot, dough, hay, soup, and job. The intangible words were rush, came, and why. Okay, here's our crazy little story. The bus was in a rush because it saw a dot that came on the dough. Picture and see that all in your mind. Then it saw hay in its soup, and now it's late for its job and doesn't know why. So then to memorize this 15-digit number, all we have to do is picture and see and memorize this little story in our mind. So anytime we come to the bus, we automatically know that it's B for 8, S for 0, then rush would be R and 6. And then we would go to dot, which would be 1 and 2, and so on. Definitely a challenge, and I think if you can see if you can get this mastered, it is incredibly powerful. Now, one more time, I'm just going to recommend that you really take the time to study this code system. I find unfortunate that most people don't really take the time here because it is quite challenging and a little difficult. But once you master this system, you will be in the quantum zone of memory techniques. Now, in the outset of this program, I discussed with you two parts of memory. That was both the conscious and the subconscious. And at this point, I want to take some time to share with you some interesting ideas or thoughts about the subconscious mind and how we can actually use it to increase our memory capabilities. And we're going to do a couple of things that will already help you increase your memory power that you have, but we will do it without memory aids. And I think you'll enjoy that. The brain speaks in its own language, and that language is frequencies. What we have to do is we have to find out how we can get to the point of relaxation where the brain or the mind or the memory is more susceptible to learning. Now, the alpha state of frequency in the brain is really the most susceptible to learning. And what I want to show you how to do is to relax the mind so it makes learning easier. Now, some say the mind is made up in the following way. It's 10% the conscious mind and 90% the subconscious mind. So you can see how beneficial the subconscious mind is. It works 90% without us really even knowing it. For example, the subconscious mind contains our voluntary biosystems, the breathing, the beating of the heart, and so on. We don't even realize that we're doing a lot of this many times. And it also learns repeated behavior. Things that have been conditioned in our thinking that cause us to do whatever it is that we do. Now, a very important point that we want to remember is that our subconscious mind holds on and acts on our belief system in life. In other words, it's obedient or a slave to what we put into it. Now, can you recall some of the beliefs that perhaps you had before you started this program? You know, the one that we only use 10% of our brain? Maybe that's what we've been conditioned to think, but that's really not true. Or maybe I've got a bad memory. These are all part of the belief system that hopefully you've had in the past. Or what was the other one? As we get older, our memory gets worse, and hopefully we've proved that not to be true. Our mind is basically like a computer. What we put in is what comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. So if we put junk in, we're going to put junk out, and vice versa. So what we've got to do is to retrain or recondition our thinking pattern and our thought. And that's what we've been doing in this program, haven't we? And hopefully you've proved that without a shadow of a doubt, that you do have a very powerful memory. Now, once you believe that and that's in your belief system, things will start to change. So once that's in your belief system and say, for example, somebody says to you, do you have a bad memory? Maybe you forget things from time to time, that's only human, but you know you do have a powerful memory. And the reason perhaps that you may have forgotten something in the past is because you weren't paying attention, or maybe you weren't using some of those 12 memory pushers. So this is how we can actually change our belief system by inputting new, powerful, positive thoughts into the subconscious mind. Now, what we have to do, though, is learn to relax the mind in such a way that it seems to be more susceptible or wanting to take new information in. It becomes a little bit more impressionable to ideas or thoughts when we are in a relaxed state. So basically, it's quite simple. All we have to do is become very relaxed. A couple ways to do this. One, you can lie down. Of course, you don't want to do that if you're driving. Or you can close your eyes or sit in a couch and be very relaxed. One thing I find that's also very beneficial is when you have your arms relaxed there, kind of turn them in such a way that your palms are facing up. We seem to relax a little bit better that way when we use this particular technique that I'm about to show you. And it's simply a breathing technique. All it amounts to is taking in a nice deep breath of fresh air, but you're going to do this through your nose only. Don't do it right now. I'll kind of demonstrate it for you. You take a deep breath through your nose only, fill up your lungs as much as you can, and then hold it for just about a second. And then once you have held it for about a second, slowly through your nose, let it go. Let me give you a brief, simple little demonstration. Deep breath in, through your nose only. Notice what I did is once I took that deep breath, I held it and slowly let it out. Now, if you do that for 3 or 4 times, your body becomes very, very relaxed. Another thing you can do as you're doing this, you can actually close your eyes, or you can slowly let out a little moan. And it helps relax you even more. Now, an interesting thing that can happen here is once you become very relaxed, this is where you want to start talking to yourself. Yes, talking to yourself is healthy. Even talking back, I think that's healthy too. Why don't you try to use this breathing technique now? Of course, we have to assume that you're able to do so. You certainly don't want to do this when you're driving. And of course, if you are, wait till you get home. But I'll have you just take a couple deep breaths in through your nose only. Hold it for a second. Slowly let it out. Relax the muscles. Relax the body. One more time. Deep breath in through your nose only. Hold it. And slowly let it out. Now, if you do that several times, your mind and body become very relaxed. And this is a good time to feed the mind with positive thoughts. Now, you know I'm not talking about just positive thinking. If you use positive thoughts and don't act on them and have the right thought process to go along with it, well, it doesn't get you too far. Positive thinking is like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long. Perhaps you've heard me say that before in my other programs. So as you're relaxed now, then you want to start telling yourself, you do have a good memory. You are able to remember things. And just use words like that. Now, to prove that this is effective and this can work, think about this. If you take a young child, and as the child is young, just a couple years old, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you constantly tell that child, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're dumb, and you keep telling that child that, sooner or later, the child's going to what? Yeah, you got it. The child's going to believe it. But on the other hand, you take the same child and you tell that child, you're great, you can do it, you can do anything, you're smart. You say that enough, sooner or later, the child is going to believe that. So what we have to do is we have to constantly keep reconditioning our mind and our thought process. And we also need to do this with regards to memory. So one of the great ways to do this is get the body and the mind relaxed and talk to yourself. Tell yourself, yes, you do have a great memory. You don't forget things. But maybe even if you do, lie to your brain, not in a deceitful way, but tell yourself these positive thought processes. And again, do it in a relaxed state of mind. It helps the mind be a little bit more impressionable with regards to this thinking. And sooner or later, what will happen if you keep doing this on a regular basis, if you don't believe it now, you will certainly believe it in time. As long, though, as you are applying the information in this program, hopefully you are already at the point where you are a strong believer in the fact that you do have a powerful memory.